Oh, good afternoon, everybody. Wow. As Cody Rhodes said, Washington, D.C., what do you want to talk about? I think we got our answer last night at around, 5:30 or so. Maybe it was a little bit earlier than that. Hey, what do you say? The Nationals actually do have a pulse in some way, shape, or form. It's just not the... It's not the way that a lot of people thought it would go down, including yours truly. And wow, what do you say? And what do you know? My goodness. The first reaction that you have to give is, all right, everybody kind of thought this was going to happen with Davey Martinez. There's nobody that thought they were picking up Davey Martinez's contract option. There's nobody that thought Davey Martinez was going to be able to outrun that comment from a couple of weeks ago. I think it was June 13th-ish, June 14th, where I was at the ballpark that day with Ty. And we're driving home, and I'm listening to the postgame show, and Heisty is doing the postgame show, Craig Heist, and he turns it over to Davey Martinez, and Davey Martinez is asked an innocuous question of like, hey, what's going on? Like, you know, do you put some of the blame on the coaches? How do you kind of parse it? And he basically said, no matter what he did to walk it back, he basically said 100% this is against and on the players, not the coaches. And I said from that moment, Davey was a dead man walking. And no matter how he tried to walk it back, no matter how Rizzo tried to defend it, no matter how everybody tried to spin it, when you 100%, essentially, if not in reality, blame your players, which, listen, Davey is not completely wrong. A lot more of this falls on the players than it ever does the coaches. Unfortunately, media and fans are often too ignorant to realize that. And I've got it figured out, and I've always had it figured out, that sports failure and sports success is a lot more on the players than, again, media and fans want it to be. A lot more. Success and failure. Okay? Whether it's 85%, 90%, we can parse terms, what have you. It doesn't matter. But when Davey said 100% it's on the players and not on the coaches, I thought, I largely agree with him, but I largely think he was absolutely wrong for saying that. And I said that at the time. You can't say that. And from that moment, especially when things did not turn around enough, you knew Davey was a dead man walking, right? Now, what we didn't know was what Mike Rizzo's contract situation was. And to be honest with you, I didn't know that he had a mid-July or a July-ish option. I wasn't even thinking about Mike Rizzo specifically. Of course, I was thinking, all right, when we get to the end of the season or maybe mid-September, look out. I wasn't thinking Mike Rizzo July. I got to be honest. I was thinking Davey Martinez July. And that makes sense. But I was not thinking Mike Rizzo July, A, because I didn't know about the contract option, honestly, when it had to be picked up. Two, I thought, okay, if you made the move, if you didn't fire Mike Rizzo last offseason, if you didn't do that, then you have enough faith in him to turn it around for at least half the year. This year, you would think, right? And listen, June went terribly wrong. And they just got waxed upside the head by the Boston Red Sox after taking 2 of 3 from the best team in the American League, Detroit. And after a not so bad road trip in which they were 4-5 against some tough customers. But you thought when when Mike Rizzo was given the opportunity to enter this year, you thought, okay, sure, they want to see progress. Sure, they want to see a turnaround. Sure, they want to see things pointing up. And obviously that did not happen. We were there June 1st, and then it terribly fell apart. But the reason why I wasn't thinking Mike in July was because of having the number one overall pick and then the trade deadline at the end of July. I thought, all right, if you have a contract option on Mike, maybe it's September 1st. Maybe it's August 15th. Maybe it's something like that, where you wouldn't do it necessarily before, a week before, the number one overall pick, and you wouldn't do it necessarily just a couple of weeks before the end of July trade deadline. You would either do it seemingly earlier on in the year, I don't know, June 15th, that's not that much difference, but it is a couple of weeks, or more logically, you would have an option deadline picked up August 15th, September 1st, September 15th, September 30th, whatever it might be. And then you say, all right, things genuinely did not improve. As a matter of fact, maybe we got worse by the time it's said and done. They're 37-53 right now. Okay? And even though it, some would question, well, wait a second, why did you hang on to Mike Rizzo until September 1st, September 15th, September 30th, and let him run the draft, let him run the deadline, and whatever, is because, again, the timing, the opposite look at that is what they chose to do, which is fire him a week before the draft and 3 weeks or so before the deadline, or 3.5 weeks before the deadline. So either way, your timing was going to be criticized. But to me, it made way, way, way more sense to have your president of baseball operations and your general manager to either be fired last offseason, he was not, or to have the option in his contract decidable on or decided on, again, August 15th, September 1st, September 15th, September 30th, something like that. That makes more sense to me than having your contract option for both your manager and your general manager reportedly in mid-July, reportedly. Now, there are other reports that said July 1st for Davey. I don't know exactly what is what at this point, and I don't think anybody officially knows. Again, some people have speculated it was July 1st on Davey. I didn't see the same thing for Rizzo. Bob Nightingale of USA Today, longtime baseball writer. I think he might still be an Odyssey Baseball Insider, but I'm not sure. Bob Nightingale reported last night, mid-July, which would indicate right around July 15th, which would indicate what? Davey Martinez before the second half of the baseball season resumes, which again makes some sense. Mike Rizzo, if that was the same pickup date or the same option date, does that make sense? Does that make sense? A day or two after the draft or during the draft, whenever the actual date was? Does that make sense? I don't think so. For Davey, it does. And it did. For Mike Rizzo, it didn't. For Mike Rizzo, it made sense to blow him out last offseason. Or, in my opinion, the only other option would be, again, to wait until at least August 15th. This way you could say to anybody, well, why did you wait until after he ran the trade deadline? And why did you wait until after he ran the draft? And you say, well, we wanted to give as much of an opportunity based on the contractual language and based on just common sense to say baseball is a 162 sport. It's not a snap of the finger, immediately fire someone when things go wrong in the month of June. Because there are other teams out there where things have gone terribly wrong in the month of June. The Guardians, there's another team out there, I'm slipping my mind, where things went brutal in the month of June. And you don't expect them to fire their GM or their manager just because they had a bad month and because they had expectations. If you had a option deadline, let's just say August 15th, let's say September 1st, on both Davey and Rizzo, you could say fire them at any point before that, especially if you've made up your mind. You could do that at any point, but you don't have to make that decision if you don't want to until August 15th, September 1st, when it's more logical to say, okay, things have gone really poorly. Things have gone way worse than we thought. Let's do it now. We know we're not picking up the options. Let's just part ways now. But instead, it looks like whether it was mid-July, July 1st, whatever, the Nationals said, these two guys have done a lot of good things, but it's no longer good enough. And we're not going to pick up the options one way or the other. And because of that, we're going to pull the plug out now. But in the meantime, while it makes sense again for Davey, it does. It certainly makes more sense for Davey. In the meantime, now what you've done is again put an interim general manager who, yes, has been here as the assistant general manager for 6 years. What you've done is put an interim general manager in charge of all of this that you don't know if he is staying. So the notion that, well, we didn't want Mike Rizzo making the decision of 1-1 or at the trade deadline, and we made the decision that we were not going to pick up the option, so we just parted ways now. Well, wait a second. You don't know in any way, shape, or form, or at least you shouldn't know, whether the interim general manager, Mike DiBartolo, is going to be here or not. And you said in a statement, he's in charge. He's in charge. But you don't know if he's going to be here. So the notion that we don't know if Mike's going to be here or whatever, and that's why we decided to pull the plug a week before the draft, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Maybe it does to you. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And why they would put these option dates, say they were July 15th. Let's just use that because, again, there's some not clear date timeline things out there, right? And unless somebody sees something that I haven't seen, I've seen a bunch of different things. I've seen July 1st on Davey. I saw nothing on Rizzo until yesterday. Then I saw mid-July. Somebody has said July 15th. I can't remember exactly who said that, or maybe they're just using July 15th because it's mid-July as reported again by Nightingale. I don't know. But the bottom line is, why would you put those specific dates into the contract when you know specifically for a general manager, the month of July is the busiest of all of the regular season. You either fire him in December or November of last year and cut the cord and start over again, or you wait. You don't do it in July. And I think that's what has everybody all fired up and flabbergasted and outraged, for lack of a better term, is you do it one way or you do it another way, and the way you don't do it is the way the Nationals did it on Rizzo. Again, Davey Martinez, I think, while they could have been more humane and waited another week and saw how they did on this next road trip, fine. That's not to say that Davey Martinez is not important. That's not to say anything. Nobody thought they were picking up his option. Nobody thought Davey Martinez was going to be back next year. At least nobody that I talked to. So I'm not as flummoxed, if you will, about Dave Martinez. But the Rizzo time deadline just doesn't make a lot of sense. And again, if your answer is, well, we didn't want Rizzo making decisions that will affect the next 5 to 10 years of the franchise, fine. Number one, he's done a lot of work on that already. Number two, you're going to let Mike DiBartolo do it, and there's no guarantee at all, period, that he's staying here long-term. None. Unless you've already made that decision in your mind and just didn't want to come out and say it. And that's obviously a way around that. They'll never admit that, but that's a way around that. So away we go on a Monday at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Your reaction, obviously, to Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo. Listen, I think if we're being totally fair and totally honest, they deserve to get fired.
Here's the set. Hicks delivers, and Abrams swings and drives into the air to left center field. Moving over as the left fielder, Duran has a play, and a couple of steps shy of the warning track in front of the Red Sox bullpen. He makes the catch, and this one is over. The Red Sox come to the nation's capital and wind up with a sweep of this three-game series.
All right, that was Charlie Slows on the call yesterday afternoon at Nationals Park. The Nationals are in St. Louis for an off day today. They traveled out last night, I believe. That's how they kind of normally do things, and then they give the players the day off in the road city. There's all sorts of unknown at this point. We don't even know who the interim manager is, but we do know they got swept by the Red Sox, a team that was 500-ish coming in after taking two or three from the Tigers. And things were starting to point upwards a little bit, right? 4-5 road trip on the West Coast, 2 out of 3 from the Tigers. You started to feel like, all right, okay, the month of June is over. And then, and just got torpedoed by, quite honestly, not a great team. But the Nationals starting pitching made, and there was more problems than that, but the Nationals starting pitching made the Red Sox look like, I don't know, the 2004 Red Sox that won the World Series, or the 2013 Red Sox. You get the point. They did. And that was not good enough in any stretch, in any way, shape, or form. Now, I have a hard time thinking that Mark Lerner made this decision in the eighth inning yesterday. This decision was probably made going into yesterday, maybe even going into this weekend, maybe even going into this homestand. They knew they were not going to pick up Davey Martinez's contract, and I presume they knew that they were not going to pick up Mike Rizzo's contract. And because, for whatever reason, when there's no reason at all, they inserted a mid-July clause into the contracts. It gives you very little wiggle room if things went terribly sour in the first half. And they did. They were fine in April and May. They were 2 games under .500 entering June. And then they went 7-19. And now they're 37-53. And now nobody comes to the ballpark with the exception of Red Sox fans and a handful. And I mean a handful of, you know, NATS, Nats, woo, woo, woo people. Okay? And that's just not good enough. That's just not good enough. And I believe also, and maybe I'm wrong, I'm sure they would deny it, but when they draw 16,000 on Wednesday night, July 2nd, against the best team in the American League in the Detroit Tigers. And yesterday, I think it was like 25-ish thousand, somewhere in that range, 26,000, which is not a horrible crowd, but it's the middle of the summer. It's July 4th weekend. The Boston Red Sox are in town, and they have all sorts of Kids Day promotions. You start looking around, and you go, okay, this just isn't good enough, not only from a production standpoint and from a performance standpoint, but this isn't good enough in any way, shape, or form from a business standpoint. And we know this, or at least we should know this, that business here means a little bit more than business elsewhere. Okay? Now, a lot of you are going to call the Lerner family cheap. Terrible owners, they don't spend money, cheap, 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 cheap. And at times I've called them cheap. Okay? I've called them cheap back in the glory days where they didn't bring back certain players or sign certain players that they really needed. And a lot of it was because of their hardline negotiation tactics. And a lot of it was because I believe, and whether I'm wrong or not, nobody's ever disputed this, that they negotiate not only with hardline negotiation tactics, but they almost and essentially negotiate with kind of a, I don't know, an intimidation. And maybe that's not fair, but that's the sense that I get from talking to people in baseball over the years and also just observing. Like, not that I'm privy to those negotiations, but they try and undress you. They try and say, no, 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 this is the way we're going to do it. And this is the way it should be done. And you don't have to like it, but we don't have to pay you. We don't have to do right by you. We're going to do what's best for us and what's best for business. And some might just call that flat out negotiation. But I believe that works way, 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 way better in the corporate real estate business, in the commercial real estate business, as opposed to in the baseball business. Yes, yesterday was 26,771 on July 4th weekend. Weather hot, yes. Okay, fine. Never stopped anybody before. They probably should have had 8,000 to 10,000 more people there, and I'm willing to bet the Lerners probably thought that each one of those games against the Red Sox were going to get them 35,000 plus, and maybe they looked around and said, this isn't good enough. We're not making enough money here. We're seriously in debt. We're trying to operate this team. We said people need to buy into us before we buy into other people. That's what we said on the record. People need to support us before we support them. This is the Boston Red Sox. We already know there's 10,000 or so fans behind the third base dugout that are fans of the Red Sox or a popular road team. We already get that. But if that's the case, then that means we had what? 15, 16-ish thousand Nationals fans, maybe? In the building? On a Sunday? On July 4th weekend? Against a very popular team? What are we doing here? Not only are we not winning enough for anybody's liking, which is fair, but we're not making enough money. We're not bringing in enough revenue. We've already made it clear we're not going to invest revenue, or we're not going to invest our money until fans support us. What's going on here? We can't have this. We've got to figure this out. We've got to change things so that we get 36,000 instead of 26,000. Because those extra 10,000 people, we don't care if they root for the Red Sox or the Nationals. We just care if they buy beer and hot dogs. Oh, and by the way, tickets. And at 16 games under 500, this isn't getting better. This is getting worse. And that is undeniable. And I left last segment saying they deserve to get fired. Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez. They deserve to get fired. They do. No matter which way we parse it, no matter which way we cut it, ultimately, this is 5.5 years into the rebuild, truly the rebuild. Not all was, hey, let's do everything we can to strip it down there. I get that. But truly, this is 5.5 years since they have been not a winning championship team, but since they have been a competitive winning ball club. And it's only getting worse. So by theory and by logic, they deserve to get fired. But why was there this mysterious mid-July-ish option clause when you could have easily negotiated it later, September 1st, August 15th, September 15th, September 30th, as we keep saying? Why? You didn't have to put it in there in mid-July. You didn't have to put it in there during the busiest month of the general manager and the president of baseball operations. That's not when you do it. Maybe the manager, okay, the all-star break, that seems to make a little bit of sense, sure. The general manager, no thanks. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980, that's my opening thoughts. We'll obviously get into more as we go along. A lot of people have written a lot of things. We'll try and parse through a bunch of them, not all of which is important just from the standpoint of, it seems based on everything that I've read, and I've read The Post, I've read The Athletic, I've read, you know, longtime national baseball writers, people that are really, really, really plugged in. Nobody seems to kind of have one definitive stance here, and nobody seems to really know why or what's going on other than, you know, if you believe a statement saying they needed a fresh approach, okay. Yeah, who could argue with that? And if that's how we're going to do this, if we're going to boil it down in as simple terms as that, they're not wrong. They're not wrong. It's just the timing and the way the learners have traditionally gone about managing their organization, their baseball organization, continues to be mystifying. If not wrong, mystifying. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's do a trending alert right here, right now, on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, indeed, as we mentioned, the Nationals with the day off today, so the debut of whoever will be the new bench boss will not be until tomorrow night, but here's the thing. We don't know who it's going to be. Could be bench coach Miguel Cairo, could be somebody else, Matthew Lecroy, the Rochester manager. We don't know yet. The team said at some point this afternoon they hope to have an announcement, but that's all we have. Again, day off today for the Nationals in St. Louis. Not a day off for everyone else, as the big series that gets underway is tonight at 6:40 when the Tampa Bay Rays at 49-41 take on the Detroit Tigers, who we've mentioned a couple of times, 57-34. The Red Sox just off the sweep of the Nationals here in D.C. return to Fenway Park at 7:10 to take on the awful Colorado Rockies at 21-69. Meanwhile, from the WNBA, hell, Angel Reese has been on a little bit of a heater, but she is not. She is not happy with WNBA officiating. She said, quote, it has to be fixed, and quote, I am tired of this bleep. That after an 80-75 loss to the Minnesota Lynx yesterday, in which the Chicago Sky only had 8 attempted free throws, 17 by the Lynx, but Angel Reese has certainly been cranking up her production over the last couple of weeks. You heard Kevin Sheehan at the end of his show mention the 7-team trade that went down in the NBA focused around Houston acquiring Kevin Durant. Of course, the Wizards completed their trade over the weekend, which was expanded to include Houston and Cam Whitmore, but the Clippers, Jazz, and Heat have agreed on a 3-team trade today, sending Norman Powell to Miami, John Collins to the Clippers, and Kevin Love and Kyle Anderson plus a 2027 LA second-round pick to Utah. And that's what's trending. All right, good to have you with us right here on a hot, hot, hot Monday afternoon, July the 7th, 2025. 1 week from tonight, James Wood, everything that's good about the new Nationals will be on public and national display. in the Home Run Derby. Less than 1 week from tonight, the Nationals will be on display, the number one overall pick. And instead of who's going to be the pick, is it going to be Holiday's kid? Is it going to be the kid from LSU, the left-hander? Is it going to be somebody else in a draft that has everybody splintered? The only thing people are going to be talking about is, oh, whoa, whoa, the Nationals. They're not kidding. Wait, they fired their general manager and president of baseball operations less than a week before having the number one pick? Before finally having somebody to celebrate on a national level for the first time in a couple of years? Whoa, what are we doing here? And again, that's what I can't wrap my head around. Either baseball is not a sport, and many sports, the closest comp I came up with, and I think I said to somebody, and before we get to the calls, I said to somebody on Twitter, I said, this is like the Commanders having a disappointing year this year, next year, whatever, finishing 7-10 for whatever the reasons are, and then firing Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, not on January 8th, but a week before the NFL draft, after they've conducted free agency, which I compared basically to the first couple of months of the baseball season, right? And again, work with me here. It's not exactly six of one, half dozen of the other, okay? But you get my point. It would be like doing that. And you say, well, wait a second. Dan Quinn, not as important in that same comparable because they don't have to coach in any games until September. They don't have to coach a practice, really, until late July. I mean, obviously, they have OTAs, but come on, those are a joke. Nobody cares about those. But firing Adam Peters, the general manager, the guy who runs your football operations, a week before the draft, instead of in January, is an absolute no-brainer. I mean, no way could you comprehend that or even defend it. So this, to me, is kind of similar. Again, it's not the only thing at work here, but it's kind of similar. I'll say this over and over again. Both deserve, ultimately, via their record and their resume, to not be back next year. I have no problem with that. I wasn't expecting either to be back. Rizzo, I was thinking maybe a possibility, but I wasn't expecting either to be back. It's the timing. And there's no reason that I can think of why you have to have that mid-July clause. Now, unless that was Davey and Rizzo asking for that, that I don't know. That still trying to figure out. Maybe we'll kind of figure it out along the way. I don't know. But on the surface, it doesn't make sense. And there are a lot of things about the Lerners and their negotiation tactics over many, many, many years with free agents, both their own and prospective free agents, and business deals, the sale of a team, the television deal, the jersey patch thing, the no naming rights thing, all sorts of business operational type things that make literally no sense. So until I'm told otherwise, I have no choice but to basically assume that they put this date, which makes, again, sense for the manager, no sense, at least in my opinion, for the general manager slash president. All right, let's get out to the phones. 301-230-0980. Let's get you aboard. Let's start with Daniel in Springfield, AMAC on line one. Then we'll get to Tony and Mark. What's up, Daniel? How are you?
Hey, Rooster, just enjoying my summer.
Well, yeah, so, I bet you're probably enjoying your summer a little bit more than Davey Martinez and Mike Rizzo.
God, that was like a turd in the punch bowl.
Yeah.
Hearing that.
Although actually, awful. You know what? If I was them and I was getting paid what they're getting paid, and now I don't have to deal with the clown show anymore, I'm probably happy. I'm going on vacation and not having to deal with
it. You know, that's probably the real thing. They probably had a vacation booked or something, like a cruise or something. What a clown show. I mean, we went from filet mignon to chopped liver as far as the roster. I mean, I love the new thing, but like we had, when my son was a kid, I mean, I would say, oh, we're going to have multiple championships. Look at the talent we have on this roster. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the pitching staff just ain't there.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
for whatever reason.
They invested in the wrong guy medically, Steven Strasburg, yes, right? But if we think about it, like people say, well, what were they supposed to do? Well, the thing that they were supposed to do was to find somebody in that young core that they actually identify outside of Strasburg, which they did. So I have to, again, sort of give them credit. But you can't just sign Strasburg, a guy with extensive injury history, and say, well, that's it. No Rendon, no Harper, no Soto, no Trey Turner, no Max Scherzer for a second deal. I understand they signed him for the first deal. You can't do Jordan Zimmerman. You can't do that and say, well, that's good enough, that we're going to win and depend on that philosophy, because that philosophy doesn't work. You don't have to sign all of them. Everybody understands there's a luxury tax.
Not one.
Everybody understands how expensive they are.
Yeah, not one. We didn't keep anybody. So it's like, you know, so from a fan standpoint, you know, I go and buy a bunch of tickets like right after the World Series. Worst time to buy them ever. Mm. You know, pandemic and just the fact that they got rid of all those people. So, you know, they took a lot of wind out of the sails by doing that. You know, I mean, sports are emotion.
Yep.
And you know, I don't think you're right about firing is fair, because like what did he have to work with? I mean, he was like managing with one hand tied behind his back, and Davey, you know, good soldier, you know, worked with what he had.
Well,
so,
all right. So I mean, listen, I understand what you're saying. They didn't have a lot to work with. There is no doubt that they did not have a lot to work with. I think we can all agree on that. But at some point, you have to say, all right, 5.5 years into this rebuild, reload, recalibration, whatever the hell they want to call it, and some people might call it tank, whatever it is, that you have to get better results than this. And that's where I say it's justified. Again, I'm not saying that they were bad guys or that it's their fault. I would say that Rizzo specifically, there has been more bad decisions than good decisions. But I would also say this, his one really, really good decision in the last couple of years is the only reason why the arrow is somewhat flickering up. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine,
well, he's very loyal.
Imagine where they would be if they not only didn't pull off that trade, but if somehow, some way, they
St.
tried
Louis
to be patient
where they
and tried to sign Soto and then lost Soto to the Mets or the Yankees in this year's free agency. Imagine how bad things would be. At least they have the arrow sort of flickering up.
Yeah, maybe we'll get – what was that pitcher that's sitting on the shelf with Tommy John?
Kate Cavalli?
The other one.
Are you talking about Kate Cavalli?
No, the other one that hasn't played. He played for a little bit and then got injured.
Oh, Josiah Gray.
How's he doing?
Well, Josiah Gray is not coming back until probably early to mid-September, and that's if everything goes okay. I would be more willing to bet that you probably don't see him this offseason. Daniel, I got to let you run. I appreciate it. I'm up against the clock. Got to take a timeout. We will come right back, and we will get to Tony. We will get to Mark. We will get to you at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Do you, like me, argue with the timing of the Mike Rizzo thing specifically, trying to figure out why in the hell would you put a clause in the contract mid-July during the busiest and most critical month of the year for a general manager and president of baseball operations? That's what I can't figure out, and hopefully somebody has an answer that makes sense. Stay with us on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, back with you on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Let's get to it on the phone so we can squeeze in as many as we can. Let's go to line two. Tony is in D.C. on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Tony, good afternoon. How are you?
Hello?
Hey, Tony, what's going on, man?
Yes, sir. Chris, this team has not been the same since the World Series team. Everything. We had all the stars and everybody aligned. I understand the youth movement and trying to rebuild, but we got rid of all the stars. So that's why people not wanting to come into the ballpark anyway. They're like, you know, why go see a minor league team? We don't have nobody that's really coming out to see and everything. And we got rid of all the pitchers and everything. Man, this timing is just off. I would just see the whole thing through. If they're going to be bad, let them be bad through the whole season and let it be done, and let's do this on the all season.
Tony, just to make your point, right? Like, they thought, okay, hey, you know what? We need to see the commitment from the fans before we make a commitment to the fans to bring in stars that are going to cost a lot of money. And I've often conflated that or compared that to, and you live in D.C., right? If, I don't know what part of D.C., but we all know, right? If a new restaurant opens in Washington, D.C., whatever part of Washington, D.C., do you expect customers, patrons, people to pay $35 a dish, whatever it might be, for you to come to your restaurant without having pots, without having pans, without having a head chef, without having, I don't know, things to clean tables with, right? Would you ever expect that?
No, but my thing is too, Chris, they've been talking rebuild for so long and everything. I mean, how long do you think the fans supposed to just sit back and wait for things to develop?
Well, correct,
I mean, if they want to go see a minor league, they want to go see a minor league team, they would go see the Bowie Bay Sox or somebody like that. They want to
pay
see
a lot
minor
less
league
money.
Thing. Right. So, I mean, my point of it is, it starts from the ownership. They need to stop being so damn cheap and start putting some money in there. You're not going to make money if you don't put money into your product in the first place. I mean, how do you expect to make money? So my whole thing is, whatever they decide to do, I hope they just rebuild this whole thing from the bottom and rise to the top. And Chris, you know another thing too. I hope the Capitals pay attention to this because Ovechkin is not getting younger either. So I hope they looking at this and say we gotta develop or get somebody in here that's going to draw or be that type of man for the team when he decides to leave. That's all I need to say.
That's more than fair. Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it. And I think, you know, just to spend a moment on the Capitals, I think they will absolutely see a dip. I don't think they are as ignorant as, quite honestly, the Leonsises are not as ignorant as the Lerner family. The Lerner family, again, said, all right, we're not going to spend on big-time talent. We're going to develop young talent from the start. And then they said, oh, wait a second. It's not hot because you put it in the microwave for 30 seconds and not for a minute. So now we have to move on to a different plan, to a different operational plan. They're not willing to take the time to let truly these guys grow together. And I get how hard it is to be patient, but this is what you chose. This is the route that you chose. This is the path that you chose. And now it's not working, so they're flipping the script. And that's fine. That's understandable. But the accountability not being on your hands. Think about that statement yesterday. You know what? Hold on to that. I'm going to read the statement from yesterday and let's try and find out together where the Lerner family accepts blame and puts the finger of blame most notably on them. Let's do that together next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.